we meet two of the world-famous Beatles quartet, John Lennon lyricist and Paul McCartney composer, in this country for a brief business visit. John Lennon and Paul McCartney, what do you think is the one single thing that most contributed to your phenomenal, unprecedented success these past 8 or 9 years? Any single thing?
God.
I'll go along with that.
Well, you know, so much has been said that you started a trend, and that the trend that exists today, this whole psychedelic mixed media world, kind of goes back to the early days when you embarked on that, as someone said, rock-strewn path.
Yeah. We're just part of it, whatever it is.
We didn't set that one, you know. Well, we're just rolling along with it.
But we're part of it, you know.
You were so much ahead, though, so many have said.
To a degree, you know. There's always somebody a bit ahead.
What led you down that road in the first place? What brought you into that medium?
What
that
made
time?
You sit progress, in that seat now, you know? What made
just
you
natural
do that?
Progress as things just change. You know, they just keep changing. You can't help it. And we just kept along with them as they kept changing. And here we are.
Well, the millions of young people that now are grown up, I suppose, it started out with you a few years ago. They've been affected, it's said, by what you've done deeply and permanently. Do you think this is true? Do you think that the initial impact...
In some cases, that will be true.
Yeah, yeah, and it goes for us, too. We've been affected by them.
Permanently affected by Elvis Presley. Permanently affected by whoever it is you're affected by.
Scars to prove it.
Yeah. Well, going back again to the early 1960s, when you first achieved your outstanding success. Things were very different in the world then, the world of popular music and the world of youth, weren't they, than they are today?
But it's going to be... it's just change, you know. Everything changes. Everything was different then. So there's no sort of specifics about it. The whole thing's continually changing. So we can't really comment on why one particular man had a pair of white trousers on in 1933. There's nothing to say about it, but it happened.
Wrap up, ad lib, close to script.
Yes, we go back to copy now. But the changes that did occur in those years, how would you describe the kind of change? Was it the waking of a sleeping giant? We talk about young people, and we talk about the fact that so much has awakened in on the scene of life for young people.
Well, you know, I mean, none of us know what it is. I don't think anyone knows what it is, you know. I mean, it's just that it's life, you know. You appear to grow up from there to there. And we started off, you know, in leather jackets, chinging away on the guitars. And it went through all, you know, a lot of phases till it got here. You know, and that's all we can say about it. I don't know what happened. Yeah. You can't say exactly what...
How can you say?
...went on, you know.
Do you think that 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago that young people were less awake to the realities
of life? I think they're becoming more aware each generation. You know, I don't know whether it'll end at some point and go back to the start, but it seems to be going
more
that
aware.
Way. More aware, yeah.
And more new experiences all the time.
Well, of course.
More
you know.
Aware, but no one's quite sure what it is that they're aware of, but they're aware of it,
yes.
Whatever it is. You know, it's one of those things
abstract.
You can't talk about because it gets into a whole... One of those things you can't put your finger on, you know.
Well, there you can.
So let's wrap up, ad lib, close.
A lot of older people seem to feel that the young people today, as I suppose older people always felt, are kind of always rebelling against the older generation, but that this rebellion has gone so much further than other rebellions.
Yes, but what will the next one be like?
Yeah. They rebel against you.
Yeah, depending what we turn into.
Yes. What are you going to turn into?
Well, if we stay like we are now, it mightn't be bad, but we should progress and be able to still communicate with
hairy
kids if this change is as important as it might be. But if it isn't, it's just the same again. What's yours?
That's a good question. But as you leave the 20s, and how soon will that be for both of
I'm
you?
I'm 27.
And how old are you?
25.
You still have a ways to go, but you talk about yourselves as grey old men, in a sense, compared to those years ago.
It's only the way you're hearing it.
Well, you've made so much money, and you've achieved so much success so early. Does this worry you?
It's not a worry. It's just saved us wasting our lives achieving it.
Yeah, you know, our thing just happens to have been very condensed and speeded.
We chose a modern form
really.
success.
Very quick, because one second we were just there doing that with that much money. The next second, what people normally take a lifetime to do was just all there, suddenly, just handed. And we didn't have to do anything for it.
Except for work, yeah.
Not
I mean,
bit.
You know, we had to work and work, do songs and make records and that, but it didn't feel like anything to us. You know, and so that's incredible, that, because it makes you think.
I imagine it makes a lot of people think who are striving.
Also makes
but
you rich.
It's a way of doing it. There's lots of careers to choose, and you choose one. Everybody wants to get something or make something one way or another, and we chose a modern way of making it in the so-called relative, making it money and cars, because obviously we didn't want to spend our lives
it's like
to get
could,
to nowhere.
If you could take a pill to just get famous and rich, a lot of people would, you know.
Well, was
and
this,
ours was a bit like that.
Was this what you really wanted to do at first? You wanted to get rich? Was this
objective? You know, I mean, you that's what
you just
want to
make it,
want.
Whatever you do. You all set out, leaving school or whatever it is, and you want to make it. So you choose your field, and you make it, or you don't.
But now that you've reached
but
this
make
point.
It, that isn't it, you see, because there's nothing to make. So we were in the position to find out that it's not worth spending your life looking, trying to get cars and kid gloves. So
has the fun gone out of your musical career?
No, nothing like that. Just that the point of making it.
You see, you're asking questions which are quite serious, you know.
Oh yes.
Like you're not asking us how you know where we get our haircut.
Well, we'll come
so
to that.
So you can't
perhaps.
Expect all the sort of answers.
You want the different
answers. You're asking
answers,
serious questions.
So we're giving you the answer, you know.
As we see it.
Mm. Yes.
Which isn't very clearly.
Yes, of course. But of course it's unclear. But now that you have this tremendous influence, which you obviously have all over the world, do you have a particular feeling about what you want to do with this power? This
just whatever it is, to try and channel it for good, if we can. You know, that's the only point of doing anything. So we've got this machine, and we'll try and make use of it for good, and not just to have a machine.
You know, you've got your life, and you're faced with choices in it. You're given choices. And for us, you know, being suddenly rich and famous and in a position to do something, we've got a choice of doing either what most people do, which is just making more and more money and getting more and more rich and more famous, or trying to do something which will help, you know. And it sounds a bit sickly, it sounds a bit like charity, but it's obviously the one we've chosen, you know, because it's just better. And it just might be, you know, in the long run.
Might be good.
Might be good.
Let's stick with the young people and the areas that, you know, that you think are most fruitful to try to help in. I mean, again, I asked before where you thought young people were going, and you said, well, maybe there'll be a reaction to what they have now. How does this relate to the real world, as you see it, to issues of war and peace and family and country?
All issues are relative, so it relates like that. It's all just relative to each other. War and vegetables, it's all just relative, you know. So there's relativity and absolute. So that's how it relates.
It's great, Johnny.
It's kind of hard, though, for some people to interpret you.
Well, I mean, if they can't interpret it, maybe they will later, or come to their own conclusions. But that's the way I think it is.
But what do you think about the young people?
Well, I think they're young, you know. I'm trying to find out. So.
They seem to be trying to sort of stop wars and that.
Which
maybe
is
maybe
good.
They're not, you know. I mean, it just looks as though everyone's trying to stop all that killing and all that fighting and all that.
And it's a good idea.
Down, you know, so that sounds good anyway. It may not be, you know, it may be just silly to try, but it may not be good.
It may not work, but the word anarchy has been used to describe some of the youth.
Well, I mean, there always will be that element, because when they see it as how they see it, to become an anarchist, it's, well, what can we do about all that? I mean, what can you do really but wear a badge? Or stand up and shout, you know. So the choice is about shouting or let it roll. We're anarchists. but they just are a group of people that will go on forever. There'll always be them, but they don't actually do anything.
Everyone needs someone to say, this is how you do it. You know, now this is what we want you to do, you know. And the thing is, really, it'd be great if we knew how you do it. You know. I mean, we make guesses. They're not always right, you know. They're often wrong, in fact. But it'd be great if we knew what it is you do, because we're in a good position, you know, just to say to all the people who want to know how you do it. You know, because there's so many phony institutions saying, and this is how you do it, and this is how you do it, and this is how... You know, nobody can believe them anymore. So it'd be nice for people to... someone just to come along and say...
Well, it'd have to be Jesus, yes, or Buddha or something. They don't seem to be around at the moment.
The whole idea of whether you get involved or whether you stay out of it, whether you're turned on or whether you're turned off, how do you feel about it?
Well, we believe you should turn on and stay in and change it.
Drop in sometime.
So when you get involved, do you mean getting involved in the establishment and institutions?
Well, to change it, because unless you change it, it's going to be there forever. So the only thing to do is to try and change it, but not replace it with another set of Harris tweed suits. But just change it completely. But how you do that, we don't know.
There's a lot of ways, but the one we've decided on at the moment is just to try and get into business, so that we can go to sort of them, you know, all those big bosses and all those big companies, where people always, and I talk to them as though we're
one of them. No. But of course we're not. So
we're not really.
See what happens,
we're not really. But we've got people who are, you know, we're doing it for us, you know. And it's like it's a bit different from the hippie scene, because people think, oh well, you know, like they haven't washed and they've got long hair and oh that's naughty, you know. And people won't, you know, people don't communicate with them because they don't like the look of them or something. You know.
We've got a package in a new box.
You know, we're trying to get to like sort of the people who are in control.
Money talks.
And say, no, come on, you know, straighten it out.
Bob Dylan,
you know, don't
says.
Mess it up. That's if they can, you know.
Yes.
Don't know if they can. It doesn't look as though they can.
Now, you went to India and spent time with Maharishi. He's had a great impact, you feel, on your whole outlook. Could you describe how he's changed things for you?
Well, we sort of feel that Maharishi for us was a mistake, really. But meditation, we don't think, was a mistake. But I think we had a false impression of Maharishi, like people do of us, you know. But what we do happens in public, so it's a different scene slightly.
Now, what was your original impression?
Well, we thought he was something other than he was, probably. You know, we were sort of...
We thought he was magic, you know.
And...
Because he's got that kind of thing, you know. And he sort of, the twinkle in the eye, and you just think he's
We were looking
else.
For it, and probably superimposed it on him.
Now,
yeah, you know, it was just the right time anyway. There were we waiting for someone.
Waiting for a guru.
The great magic man
came.
To come. And he came, you know, and there he was. And he was talking about it all. And he had great answers. Because he said, you can sort yourself out, you know, all that, you know. But you can calm yourself down just by doing this very simple thing, you know. And it works, that bit of it.
But the other bit
it really
is
does, it does do it, you know.
He's giving out sort of recipes for something that he's still creating the same kind of situations, which he's giving out recipes to cure.
But it seems like the system's more important, you know.
Sort of a touch of establishment in the Maharishi.
Well, I don't... Something, you know. We can't figure
it. He's okay, you know, he's okay.
I mean, we
but
don't
the system's more important.
There's something taken over somewhere.
The idea of it, you know.
Something seems to have gone out.
Because it always goes by the board, that bit. You know, people watch Maharishi, or watch us, you know, and just... Don't think about the system, don't think about what it's about, you know. It didn't get over.
He got you to stop taking drugs,
No, he didn't. We'd stopped taking drugs a couple of months before we met him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the sort of, the newspaper said, oh, boop, boop, put it together, we got a title. But it's just not true.
Mm-hmm. You feel that drugs are not necessary anymore for what you wanted to achieve?
I don't know.
It's just,
I don't know. I'm not making any statements about what I'm going to do for the next 60 years or whatever it is, because I've no idea anymore. You know, you can never really know, but just have a vague goal.
Not at the moment, anyway, you know.
It's no use saying, I will never take drugs, or I will take drugs, because you don't know.
I mean, after the experiences that you've had, do you think that young people who are your fans, who idolize you, ought to try the same path that you do?
No, we don't give instructions on how to live your life. The only thing we can do, because we're in the public eye, is to reflect what we do, and they can judge for themselves what happens to us.
See,
with Maharishi, with drugs, and with whatever we go on, if they're using us as a guideline. And we can only try and do what's right for us, and therefore we hope right for them.
See, some fella said to me, you know, have you had LSD, Paul? You know. And I said, you know, yes. And it was only because I was just going to just be honest with him. There's no other reason. I didn't want to spread it or anything, you know. I'm not trying to do anything except answer his question. But he happened to be a reporter and I happened to be a Beatle. Yeah. So it went into that, you know.
And it was his responsibility.
You find
his paper's,
you
know, responsibility. It's not,
you see,
and
that's
his
the
TV
thing.
Station.
Like, they immediately said, oh, well, it's this man's responsibility. You know, he's just saying all the kids should take LSD and that. And I didn't, you know. And in fact, you know, I just said, yes, I've taken it. Okay, I own up, you know.
Do you think the press distorts a great deal of what
you
say?
I don't think there's anywhere any truth coming over about what's happening at all.
In general, just all the way across the board.
Just en masse, you know.
It's not far off, you know.
There is no truth coming out at all. The only true thing about newspapers are the names of the newspaper. You know, and I'm not saying that they're intentionally evil or anything. It's just they can't control it, and the system won't allow truth to come out. Yeah. So there's something wrong with the system.
You know, if they've got just it's pretty sort of ordinary, isn't it? It's pretty dull, you know, there's none of that. Except for one or two little things which will have been headlines, you know.
Of course, when someone watches television, they see it, you know.
Television is a bit better, but it's still under the influence of the system that doesn't really allow truth to come out.
Well, now you're saying what you think, and people are saying what you say.
Just for this moment, maybe, if we are saying the truth as we know it. But in general, I mean, are you saying that the truth is coming out all the time? I don't know.
Yes.
You think
so? No, it's probably not.
You tried, but you've still got a system which restricts and inhibits people speaking their mind. I mean, we can speak our mind now about these subjects, but there'll be limits imposed and rules which are to safeguard something or other, but it has a side effect, and the choice is, you know, to where to draw the line.
It's like if you were to ask either of us a really, you know, like a question that the answer would be either something like obscene.
There's a censor.
There's a limit, you know, to where you could go. So if
we couldn't describe
important
making
questions.
Love to somebody, because the system doesn't allow that, because the system.
But anyway, that's
still
not
thinks
to do
it's,
with that
yeah,
truth
but I mean,
thing.
You couldn't just describe it, you know. I mean, that's where the system's at.
You know, in your country, one of the big controversies in your country has been recently the whole question of racial integration and of cutting off immigration and of asking some of your non-whites to go back home again.
Yeah.
You've been asked about this, undoubtedly.
Do you think this is the
kind of government that policy that you want in your country?
We reap whatever it is. Mm. And that Britain is paying for what it did to all those countries. And to say keep out is just barking in the garden, you know, because whatever is going to happen will happen like that. And
it was just
they deserve
some fellow,
it.
You know, just some fellow who said a speech one day and he's, you know,
he said what
a
lot of them thought.
Votes, you know. And
a lot of people in Liverpool and other places you know well favour what he said, apparently.
Because those people are all over the place.
But you know those people. Well,
that's why the governments are in power, because most people...
They don't know a thing, you know.
Because
they
they're not told anything as well, you know.
You know, it's people that they see, well, you know, I'm white and he's black. Hate, you know.
And
they
he's not brought up any other way.
You know, they don't know anything else than that. So they've got to agree with this fella who gets them and says, we've got a dangerous situation here.
And they vote him in, and he makes them feel all right, and he tells them that you're right. You know what's happening. You put me in power. But what they don't know is that he knows a bit more what's going on. That's why he's in power. But he's not going to tell them what's happening because he wants to stay in power, because if they knew, they wouldn't have put him in power. Somebody else would be.
But it's not as bad in England as it is here.
It probably is, you know, but it's just a different
I don't think it is.
You're talking about racism.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, it will be then, won't it?
I don't know. I don't think it's as bad. Just from what I've seen, it might be, you know. Because it's hidden more in England, definitely.
But that might be worse, won't it?
That might be worse, yeah. But there's just not the numbers going on.
Well, it's just that, you know, England's that big and America's that big.
It's much worse in England, you know.
Yeah. Than it is here. This whole question of colour.
Terrible scene.
Tell us about it.
No,
Plus
that's it.
No,
you know.
Go on.
He was joking there.
Yeah. Really?
He came around the circle.
Yes, yes. But this business of colour and the young people and people who follow you, this doesn't have any significance in the mind of many of your young people?
No, it's good, you know. Most people don't. It seems to be older people really have got that hang up.
Yes,
you know?
And musicians and the things, their vibrations don't usually have this about what street you live on. I mean, they get that scene sorted out as soon as they meet other musicians because it's the music that counts. But there's no common denominator for a society like music or whatever they're going for.
Someone can play guitar, it doesn't matter what coloured hands he uses. You know.
But it also doesn't matter for the carpenter and the bricklayer and all that, but they don't have the sort of, you know.
But I mean, everyone knows that anyway. There's only a few. I don't know who these people are.
They're the ones that vote for those people.
You know, there's just some funny people around who are messing it up.
Lots of them.
Of course, the people
will find those people.
People don't like the long hair and the
well, they, you know, yeah, we know those people are sick. You know, and we might all be sick, but they're. Manifestations of sickness are pretty, you know, horrible, really frightening.
There was something in England where there's a kid went to the barber's and that's his uncle said, go and get your haircut, and so he went and he just had a little bit off, you know, because he had it quite long and he liked it, and he came back with just a bit off, and so his uncle, his guardian, you know, got annoyed and dragged him back and had it all off, you know. The kid just come with a little crew cut, you know, and he's really broken up about it. And the next morning they found him on the railway lines. You know, the kid had just sort of laid down with his crew cut and, you know, I mean, there's no need for that.
To make haircuts that important is insanity, you know.
Yet some people probably say to you, why don't you cut your hair short? Are you just wearing it that way to be different?
No, it's just why don't you wear yours long, you know.
You know, we do what we like in that respect, don't we? We please ourselves. And what's it got to do with some man with one eye?
No, there's not. There's no.
You know that man with the one eye that's always sitting around the back? Man asking you why your hair's long.
Yeah, of course, he's always there.
You know, but all those things, that hair and colour and, you know, all the things that hang people up, there's no need. Because there's no worry. I mean, those are the least worrying things around.
But
those.
They're the causes. One of the effect causes, ditto, rum, bumble, bumble.
Yes. What about the Queen and the royalty in Britain?
One
of them. Hang up?
It's not a hang up, but I mean, imagine being brought up like that for 2,000 years. You must be pretty freaky, and they must have a hard time trying to be human beings. I don't know if any of them ever make it, because I don't know much about them. But I mean, you feel sorry for people like that, because it's like us, only worse, you know, and whether they know what's going on or not is another subject.
But they've probably got their own thing, you know, inside the castle.
Chest.
You know, they'll just.
Well, you've been inside the castle.
No. Well, I mean,
you've got your decorations.
But that is a very strange life, isn't it? I mean, that's another manifestation.
You don't really talk
craziness.
To her. You know, you don't really talk to her because she's like the Queen. It's like you don't really talk to President Johnson ever. You know, you sort of shake hands and appear to talk to
and
him.
And if they believe that they're royal,
the president, you know,
that's the joke. You know, if they believe it, well, they can carry on, you know, because it's just very strange to think that you are royal.
But they probably just, you know, great and human and have just got their own scene going, you know.
There'll be one or two of them, maybe, over
you
the
think
5
it's just
million.
A very difficult job and it's a
you
hard...
You think it all should end?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about
no,
that.
Why? You know.
But it's very costly. It's priorities, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's been said that you have such a tremendous amount of influence. You said yourself in that very controversial remark at one time that you were more popular than Jesus, and you had to correct the interpretation of that.
And the Queen's Freaky isn't a bad one.
Yeah, that's not bad either. And that Hitler never had bigger crowds than you did.
Be a headline taken out of context yet again.
You know, the United States has been plagued by the war in Vietnam, as has Vietnam, and the world has been concerned about it. What are your views about the war?
It's another piece of insanity. You know. It's all part of the same insane scene that's going on. It's just insane. Mm. Well, it should be going on. There's nothing else for it. No reason, just insanity.
You know, whoever's right and whoever's wrong, it's still...
I mean,
the
if they're right...
The thing that's going on there isn't a good thing. You know, and there's only that much world. And in a few bits of it, there's rough things going on. A few bits, there's worse things, and a few bits, it's just insane, you know. And that's one of those bits.
Since you're not diplomats, let me ask you to meddle in American politics as our concluding question.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of candidates.
We don't know all that
much about
it.
You know the names. And,
no.
You've heard the names.
Not really. I mean, we hear the sort of
Eisenhower.
Kennedys. And we met a man with a green, called Green, who sells plastic flowers to try and get people to vote for him, which is a good sign of what he is, anyway. But we don't know much of it. There's doves and olives, isn't it?
Doves.
So, I mean, anything about that, my choice would be a dove, but, I mean, it might be an insane dove. That's the
Do
risk
you want to listen to the question?
No.
Oh. Go on.
You're not, ready to, make a commitment?
Well, we
yeah, sure, go
candidate.
On. Yeah, sure. Ask something.
I mean, would you pick a McCarthy or a Kennedy?
A dove.
Or a Humphrey or a Nixon or a Rockefeller?
A dove.
Yeah. It's just too hard because, you know, we don't sort of know what they are, those people. You know, we see all their paper, pictures in the paper. We don't know what they're doing, you know. Do you? You know.
What about Harold Wilson?
Yes, what's he doing? I mean, what are they all doing? That's the point.
Well, what do you do? Let me just ask this very final question. What do you do when you talk about the establishment and you try to put something in its place?
You're
not satisfied with
what's up there. We're all part of it as well. I mean, the establishment is abstract and all that bit. So we're all part of it. So it's just to change it any way you can, if you think you can, you know, that's all you can do.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much, John.
Pleasure.
John Lemon and Paul McCartney.